Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Let's take a quick check of the energy markets. We continue to closely watch this space amid the latest developments in the Russia-Ukraine crisis. Now, taking a look at oil, we do have Brent crude oil prices that settled just about 45 minutes ago. Those April contracts settling at just over $100 a barrel, actually coming in at $100.99. At session highs today, those contracts were trading for as much as $104.48. That is near the highest level that we have seen since 2014. And a similar story for domestic West Texas Intermediate crude oil futures, those settling just about at $95.72 a barrel this afternoon, continuing this melt higher that we've been seeing for the year to date, and really especially over the past couple of weeks as we've had these geopolitical tensions continuing. Now, taking a quick check as well on RBOB gasoline futures dated for March 22nd, also seeing a move higher here, those moving higher by about 1.5% and trading at about $2.77. So again, closely watching the energy sector, which continues to outperform in the S&P 500 as we monitor the crisis between Russia and Ukraine.
All right, thanks, Emily. Well, let's take a closer look at what's been happening with energy prices and the potential fallout. I'm joined by Scott Shelady, host of The Cow Guy Close on RFD TV. Thank you for joining us again. Now, as we heard there, WTI crude up nearly 4% over $95 a barrel Monday, Brent crude over $100 a barrel again. When you see crude testing 8-year highs, what's your reaction and how long do you think this rally will last?
Well, it could actually be too white hot and burn itself out, or it could be sustained higher levels, which is going to really frustrate the Fed. I mean, I think the Fed's got a very difficult job to do. I think the equity market is telling me that they're going to try to thread this needle with attacking inflation with higher interest rate hikes, but at the same time, not hurt the rest of the economy. All the while, you may see crude oil futures and crude oil barrels going up in price. I think that's very dangerous, and it screams stagflation. I'm old enough to remember it, and I think that the Fed's got a very, very difficult job to do. I mean, somehow we've politicized crude oil. I think we should pump as much crude oil as we can right now, and we wouldn't have to raise interest rates as much. We've got an inflation problem in this country because mainly the price of energy's gone so high, and energy's in everything. It's in the transportation, it's in the making. It's in everything that we use and buy in our goods and services in this country. So you have to tack on that big energy component to everything. If you've got to take a large percentage of that out, that would take a lot of inflation off the table right away. And then we have to simply just stop, you know, printing money. So we have got an issue here. And I know both of those probably are not electable if you're a politician, but we need to pump oil, not pump rates. And we need to stop spending.
So then as the world grapples then with production, as they consider what might happen if Russia decides to retaliate and cut off oil or natural gas supplies, obviously Russia accounts for about 17% of the world's natural gas and 12% of its oil. But to what degree could liquefied natural gas replace or at least perhaps offset some of this Russian piped gas as an energy source for Europe? And how prepared are the major players to really ramp up the production that's needed?
Well, they're not. I mean, they should have been getting prepared. I mean, we're one of them. We should have been getting prepared 6 months ago, but it's politically incorrect to do that. Who could have seen Russia and Ukraine 6 months ago anyway? Germany's abandoned a lot of what they wanted to be doing as far as nuclear and natural gas. So, we've made a mistake politically. Everybody wants clean air and clean water. I'm not advocating for dirty air and dirty water by any means. But I am advocating that it doesn't help me to be able to fill my car up with gas so that I can go home and freeze to death. You know, I mean, we have to take a look at how we're going to get by today and build a plan for tomorrow rather than force everybody into one thing that's not ready to handle it and then abandon something that's readily available that could solve all of our problems right now because it's just politically incorrect. And that's frustrating to a lot of the people in the markets because the answer's right there. Stop spending, pump oil. But for some reason, those are two unelectable ideas.
Now, we do know that obviously in a midterm election year, President Biden says he's going to be coming out with a plan, details of his plan to try and cushion the blow to American consumers who are already dealing with inflation at 40-year highs. So then what can actually be done then, though, to lessen the impact of these higher oil and gas prices to U.S. consumers?
I don't want to be redundant, but I mean, we have to be able to get back in that business and go back to, look, want me to prove to you that inflation and energy prices are connected at the hip? it wasn't too long ago, about 14 months ago, we were energy independent. And inflation was 1.4%, not 7.5%, 1.4%. So there's a connection there. And that connection is that we need to have, you know, energy is power, and that power can be different things. We obviously need it like we need to breathe. And somehow we've politicized breathing. But the country needs cheap energy. And the cheaper the energy, the better the economy, the better the economy, the healthier the people, and then the more the people can do for the environment. But for some reason, we're letting other people now pump oil and do other things to their grounds, like, you know, the pipelines abroad. I'm just frustrated because I know that we have the answers in our own backyard, but we're not allowed to use them.
Now, something else I do want to shift gears to is obviously food, the price of food going up. Russia, the world's largest supplier of wheat. When you add in Ukraine, they make up nearly a quarter of the world's wheat supply. Now, we saw wheat and corn futures soaring as the tougher sanctions were announced by Europe and the U.S. But what are you watching in terms of the effects on food prices and things like that? When you do see now China saying it's going to then start buying more wheat from Russia?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, wheat was up sharply again today. So was corn. There was a lot of wheat and corn ready to be shipped out of the Ukraine before all this kicked off. And now those ports have been closed. They can't move those goods. And so they're going to have to come to the U.S. And the U.S. is showing that in the prices as of late. Now, this is even before, say, we've got the corn in the ground and we haven't had any sort of calamity when it comes to our own problems with Mother Nature. So the two biggest components of inflation are food and fuel, and they're the two most inflammatory issues, no pun intended, when it comes to our situation right now here in the States. Because of the energy policy we already had, compounded with the incursion, war, conflict, whatever you're calling it, over Ukraine and Russia, that's compounded the problem that we already had going into it. It's also compounded the problem, say, in Germany. Watch Europe. I mean, we'll see how they handle these much higher prices. But it's not anything that's going to be solved anytime soon. That's another issue. It'll take 6 months. But who knows what happens in 6 months? I'm frustrated because it's so simple to me that we should just go back to energy independence. That will take the pressure off of inflation. You won't have to raise interest rates as much on mom and pop shops across up and down the high street. And then at the same time, if we can get our legislatures to stop spending money, then we're in a much better, you know, position. But I, you know, there's two things. It took me a long time in my career. I've been doing it 35 years to learn this. It cost me a lot of money to learn this. But there's two things. It's what I think should happen and what will happen. You've asked me. I've told you what should happen, but it's not going to happen. We're not going to fire up our oil here. We're not going to stop spending money. And so the problem is going to persist, and we're going to put all the pressure on the Fed. And the Fed's just got an impossible job to do. They're going to be raising interest rates into higher oil prices. Does that cancel out those interest rate hikes? I mean, That's the situation we're looking at here. And I think that's what the market's worried about, because the Fed's not going to be able to surgically remove inflation without hurting the rest of the economy. And we had already had a downgrade of the global economy GDP today from 3.5 to 2.5. That's a large percentage. So there are folks that... Yeah, so
I certainly sense your frustration. Unfortunately, we will have to leave it there. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Scott Shelady there, host of The Cow Guy Close on RFD TV. Thank you for your time this afternoon.